it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi folks, welcome to the Double Gaming 37 preview episode of the 59th Minute FPL podcast, which is brought to you as always by Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Mark McGettigan, you'll find me on social media at FPL General. Deadline this week, Saturday morning, 11 a.m. UK time, ahead of a big game week. The last big double of the season, make or break for mini league rankings. This week's episode will follow a similar structure to usual, a quick gaming review. We welcome one new member to the 59th Minute Club, a few stats from Gaming 36, an updated watch list, listener questions, captaincy and transfers, and I'll finish off with a quick free hit draft for Gaming 37 as well for those of you who have that chip active. Make sure you hit subscribe or follow wherever you're listening for future episodes, and leave a game week, leave a five-star review as well, I should say. Also, when I'm on the subject of telling people to do things, if you are on Bench Boost in Gaming 37, make sure you activate the chip. It's very easy not to do so. The FPL website doesn't make it very clear that it is active, so activate it, save your team, log out, log back in again, and make sure it is activated. You don't want to look at your team Saturday afternoon and not see your bench in action. A quick review of Game Week 36, finished on 96 points, which you would think would be a green arrow, but it was actually a small red one, from 50k to 53k, so still hovering around that 50k target. The points came from a clean sheet from Petrovic in goal, brought in Ben White as the transfer, so it's good to be back on double Arsenal defence. Himself and Gabriel did the business. Nothing from Poro, big fat zero-pointer. His teammate Son did deliver late in the day with seven. Gordon and Isak double up continued to deliver despite the penalty miss from Isak. Palmer got eight, Foden with five, captained Haaland for 42, and Garnacho blanked in midfield. And on the bench, I've got issues to deal with before I bench boost this game week. Kelleher still there, Solanke with a two-pointer, open to selling him possibly for a minus four, which we'll talk about later. And then I've got an injured Fabian Scher and also an injured Van Hekke still hanging around. So this bench boost has become a bit of a nightmare. It's going to be at least a minus 8 to fix it. And I'm open to going further with a minus 12 if need be. Next season, I want to bench boost in game week 1, get it out of the way, and focus on the starting 11 for the 37 game weeks that follow. I do not want to be in this situation again where I have to take hits for bench picks and avoid buying more exciting midfielders and attackers with my transfers. So if you hear me pre-season, next season, talking about not bench boosting, please remind me and make sure I hit that button. A very warm welcome to the 59th Minute Club, to Manchester United's Antony. What a season he has had. It's now one goal, one assist, and 159th minute shout-out. Certainly a campaign he will want to forget about, and hopefully we see more of Antony for better next season. A few stats from Game Week 36 from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Defenders up first. Alfie Doughty at Luton, 6 chances created against Everton, but no FPL points in that one. Elsewhere, Munoz, who continues to impress at right wing back for Crystal Palace, going to be a very popular Game Week 1 pick next year if Palace have good fixtures and if his price doesn't jump up too much. Hopefully he has a quiet last couple of game weeks so that the price doesn't spike. So Munoz and Ben White both created 3 chances. In terms of midfielders, Madueke, who's caught the eye in terms of the eye test recently for Chelsea and the FPL points stand-ins. Underlying numbers look good here as well in the West Ham game. 6 chances created for Madueke and 6 shots in the box. So a bit of a differential for the double game week for those who are not already on triple Chelsea. Elsewhere, there was 5 chances created by Bukayo Saka, Rodri, who's had a very productive season, Adingra at Brighton, another differential for the double game week, and Gibbs White at Nottingham Forest. So I don't currently own Saka, and I think important, those making transfers this week, you want to keep in mind what you might want to do in game week 38 as well. So Saka's an example for me. He's not my team. I don't have triple Arsenal. They've got a good fixture on the final day. So I might want to leave enough cash in the bank to be able to make a transfer to someone like Bukayo Saka or maybe even a Mo Salah, who also has a good fixture on the final day. So keep your Game Week 38 transfer in mind when you're making your Game Week 37 ones. Elsewhere, Salah himself had 6 shots in the box. Michael Olise, 5 shots in the box. Another very impressive performance from him. Interesting to see if he'll still be at Crystal Palace next year. I hope he is, because that Crystal Palace team have been very, very impressive in recent weeks, and hopefully we see more of that in the next campaign as well. In terms of forwards, Nicholas Jackson hurt my rank with his 16-pointer. He had 4 chances created and 7 shots in the box. So Jackson's improved in terms of his underlyings recently. Eye test looks better as well. And Chelsea just seem to have turned the corner a little bit now. It's dangerous to say that because they could go and flop again very quickly, as they've done a lot this season. But certainly with a double game week to come, Jackson looks very attractive. I sold Malo Gusto last week, so I do have a space for a third Chelsea player alongside Palmer and Petrovic. So I'm not against a -4 Solanke to Jackson. That's one for me to think about for the next couple of days. Elsewhere, Erling Haaland with 8 shots in the box. I think he's auto-captain again this week with the double for Manchester City. And then you've got Isak and Joao Pedro, who both had 3 big chances. Now, of course, one each was a penalty. And am I right in saying they both missed their penalties? So interesting to see if they keep them for this double game week. Joao Pedro differential and Isak, obviously a very good pick. There was a few whispers this week of a possible hamstring for Callum Wilson, but I haven't seen anything concrete on that yet. So keep your eyes peeled on Friday's pressers to see if there's any truth in that. So that's it. A few numbers to hopefully help you with your decisions for Game Week 37. A watch list update now ahead of the final 2 game weeks. Players removed. First of all, Ortega from Manchester City. He wasn't there for very long because Ederson made a quicker than expected return. So Ortega's gone from the watch list and Ederson is back on it. I still have space for a third City asset. I need to decide if it's going to be Ederson, Gvardiol possibly, my favourite defender, or does De Bruyne come in for someone in midfield? The problem is all 5 of my midfielders have double game weeks. So do you sell someone like a Son, a Gordon, or a Garnacho to get a De Bruyne? Or do you just keep it simple and get an Ederson or a Gvardiol? And I'm leaning towards a defensive asset. As much as I'd love to have Kevin De Bruyne, I'm probably going to go without. Elsewhere, players removed. Alfie Doughty, now the decent Everton fixture, is gone for Luton as well. Just don't see myself buying him for the last 2 game weeks, despite the good underlying statistics. Trent, again, mainly money reasons. I'm probably not going to be able to afford him, and I'm not in a rush to buy him anyway when other defenders have 3 games, when he's got just 2 if he starts both. And elsewhere, Maguire. I've been talking about Maguire for ages. was going to bring him in as part of the Game Week 37 bench boost, but like every other defender I have already brought in, he is now injured. So dodged a bullet there. So I'll need to find an alternative. Other players added to the watch list this week. Romero, again, doesn't make much sense to be adding Tottenham defenders to the watch list, but double game week, goal threat. He's got 5 goals for the season. There's not much else out there in terms of defenders when you look away from Manchester City, Arsenal, and maybe Newcastle. So someone like Romero, I don't mind him as a differential when he's got the extra fixture. And they've got a good game. I think it's Sheffield United in game week 38. And they've got Burnley as part of this double with Manchester City. So if there's ever going to be clean sheets for Tottenham, maybe they can come against Burnley and Sheffield United, or at least one of the two. And you're just hoping for some goal threat and maybe some bonus points from Romero. Elsewhere, Mohamed Salah's back on the watch list with game week 38 in mind. But again, I think I'm more likely to get a Saka than a Salah in game week 38. Again, budget reasons and Arsenal fighting for the league. And up front, Jackson joins the watch list. Possible transfer for Solanke this week. And I did add Callum Wilson as well, so keep an eye out for news on that. I'm going to sell Fabian Scher. So again, it's a case of, do I get a Dan Burn or take a gamble on a Trippier? Or do I get Wilson alongside Isak instead of getting Jackson? So again, leaning towards Jackson and a Newcastle defender rather than Wilson and a different defender. Just a quick run through of who is on the watch list. Goalkeepers, Ederson, David Raya, Onana and Vicario. So one of those keepers will be coming in for the bench boost. Ideally it will be Ederson, but if I go Gvardiol, I probably won't go Raya because it blocks a Saka move in 38. So then it's a case of Onana or Vicario. You don't really want either goalkeeper, but fixtures might swing it in Vicario's favour. But again, I need to be careful because I might want a Richarlison in game week 38, or I might even want a Richarlison this week. So I've got Poro, I've got Son, so you've got to be careful with these triple ups. So reluctantly might need to buy Onana from a dreadful Manchester United team and hope that he makes about 55 saves. Defenders, there's Gvardiol and Walker, but I am leaning towards Gvardiol at this stage. I just think he's an obvious pick at the moment. Munoz and Reguilon are on the watch list as single game weekers who I'm not going to rule out. I probably should have a couple of Everton guys here as well, and Pickford should be in my thinking also for the bench boost, so I'm not going to rule those out either. Burn and Trippier here along with Romero. Midfielders, De Bruyne, Saka, Havertz, not going to rule him out game week 38 either. Salah, Olise, Bruno Fernandes, fitness dependent, and Richarlison. And forwards on the watch list, Ollie Watkins, Nicholas Jackson and Callum Wilson. So that's the pool of players that will make up my final few transfers of the season. Before I tackle the listener questions, a quick Patreon plug. You can try it for free for the month of May. Anyone who signs up for the rest of the season, given that we're close to the end, I'm just going to automatically press the refund button on your first pledge. You will still have access for a month, and then you can decide whether it's something you want to continue or come back in August and sign up for the new season. So patreon.com/FPLGeneral. Any email notification I get of a new subscriber will be refunded Game Week 37 and Game Week 38. So check that out if you haven't done so before. Questions. First one's from Dominic Hurst. Outside Manchester City, Arsenal and Pedro Porro, what are the best defenders to buy for this double game week, given that a lot of us have injuries with Scher, Maguire, Van Hecke, etc.? Yeah, it's a nightmare. Loads of injured defenders, bench boost to be played, so we're forced to make defensive transfers, and in some cases, like myself, goalkeeper transfers, instead of more exciting moves to finish the season. So even though Arsenal don't have the double, I still think they're probably the first place you go if you don't already have one or two of them. City defenders are great. I like Gvardiol most, probably put Walker second, and Ederson's right up there with those two as well. Poro I have, don't love it, but again, you know, what else is out there? You're hoping more than anything else. If I didn't have him, I probably wouldn't be in a rush to go and buy him, but if you have him, now you keep him and you hope for the best. Options elsewhere, I like Dan Burn just for security minutes, plays for a good team. Yes, maybe not too many clean sheets in the second half of the season, but there's always potential for them and some attacking potential as well, given that he's a man mountain. Trippier seems to be back in full training this week. Does that mean he'll play the final three games of the season? I don't think so. I would expect him to be cautious and careful with Trippier. So I still think I'm leaning towards Burn 4 minutes over Trippier for a double game week. But if you fancy a punt and you think his minutes are better than I do, then of course Trippier is an option. Just got to keep a be careful with how that impacts your budget for game week 38 transfers. Looking elsewhere, you've got Chelsea. Do you go for someone like, you know, Cucurella, who's been getting a lot of minutes recently? He's decent for bonus points. I don't think that's a terrible shout. Romero, who I mentioned, 5 goals for the season. And then you've got the single game makers, which might be just as good. Muno's crazy attacking potential, Reguilon the same. Then you've got Everton playing Sheffield United. So, you know, Branthwaite, Tarkowski, these guys are all options. Clean sheet, bonus potential, goal threat. So goalkeepers, not straightforward, but I would keep it simple. Start with Arsenal, start with City, and then a sprinkling of the others. Question from FPL Brooklyn. Keep Malo Gusto or sell him for a -4? So yeah, Gusto's a tricky one. I sold him last week. I didn't expect him to be back so quickly. I also just felt at the time, even if he was back, could I rely on him to get 2 starts in the double? And I thought the answer to that was no. And I felt like even if I sold Fabian Scher last week instead of Gusto, I still would have probably sold Gusto this week just to get someone like a Dan Burn 4 minutes. So Gusto played 7 minutes off the bench against West Ham. Does he start both games? Who knows? Chelsea have other options at right back, as we've seen all season. So there's no guarantee. And again, maybe they'll ease him back in after having quite a few knocks and niggles this season. So I don't think it's a guarantee that Gusto plays both games. Now, if you have him, I can see the case now for maybe just keeping him and hoping even for 1 start and something off the bench in the second game. But I also don't mind. I don't mind a -4. If you don't think Gusto starts both games, if you don't think you can rely on him in game week 38 either, then why not take a -4, get a player in that you're confident will start not just the 2 games in the double, but also someone who's got a good fixture in game week 38 as well. So one of those Gusto where it's probably fine to keep and hope for the best, but also wouldn't stop anyone from taking a -4. I always find when we get closer to the end of the season, it feels a little bit easier to take -4s. There's not, you know, you're not going to lose a massive amount of ground at this stage. Yes, there's not time to make it up, but I don't mind a little gamble or two, game week 37, game week 38. Question from William Bain. Maguire was part of my bench boost team for this week. Is it worth taking a hit to have someone who will play? So similar to the Gusto one, but Maguire is definitely out. So it's much easier to get rid of him, especially if you're on bench boost. There's no point getting a 0 from a Maguire. Take your -4, bring in a replacement. If they start both games, don't get booked. You've got your 4 points back straight away. And then anything else is a bonus. Even getting that extra, if you bring in someone from Maguire for a -4 and they get you 5 points in the double game week, that 1 point gain could be the difference in winning or losing a mini league or even a place if you're in a cash mini league or something like that. So absolutely, Maguire for a hit if you're on bench boost, for sure get rid. Question from FPL Ream. If you already have Madison, is he a sell or do you instead sell Salah to fund other moves for bench boost 37. So given what Salah just did, and given that the fixtures are okay, particularly in game week 38, I think it's Wolves at home for Liverpool. And we know game week 38 can be goals galore across the league. I think someone like Salah is a good player to have on the final day and a bit of a differential now, given that a lot of people have gone elsewhere and won't be able to bring him back in. If you're already sitting on a Salah and a Madison, I think Madison is the sell. Even though he's got a double game week, he hasn't been in the starting 11 recently. There's no guarantee that he comes back into the starting 11, although I'm sure Tottenham fans and most other people would like to see it and maybe do expect to see it. But yeah, I think I would keep Salah. And even if Madison started both games in the double, Salah could outscore him in a single game week. So yeah, I'd be for keeping Salah and losing Madison. Second question from FPL Brooklyn. Need a cheap forward under 6 million to swap with Muniz. Is João Pedro the best option or is he too risky? I think João Pedro is probably the only option with a double game week that is under 6 million in the forward position, unless there's someone obvious that I'm not thinking about here. Muniz, pretty sure Fulham play Manchester City in game week 37, so you don't love that, so absolutely fine to lose him. Again, don't even mind a -4 to lose a Muniz against Man City to get a double game week forward in his place. And Joao Pedro on the score sheet, missed a penalty, doesn't bother me. I think he's absolutely fine as a differential. His minutes are never 100% secure because he's a Brighton player and we know what De Zerbi is like. But again, whenever he is on the pitch, we've seen it earlier in the numbers, he creates chances as well as having those shots in the box as well. And he could keep penalties. So I like Muniz to Joao Pedro when Brighton have Newcastle away and then they've got Chelsea and Manchester United at home. So the double is Newcastle and Chelsea. That's fine. You know, neither team are resolute defensively. And Manchester United on the final day, is my memory coming back to me here? Did Brighton stuff Manchester United? Was that final day last season or the season before? I seem to remember a 4-0 victory for Brighton. Maybe it wasn't the final day, but again, anything is possible. Manchester United just shipped four to Crystal Palace. They could easily ship four to three or four to Brighton as well. So Joao Pedro, I like him as a differential. I like him more than Muniz for the final two games. You may as well gamble and try and get the three starts from Pedro. Question from Tinnabeans FPL. Might Tottenham seriously down tools versus Manchester City to not gift the title to Arsenal? For example, or is there enough to discourage a Richarlison punt this week? Seen us mentioned in a few places, you know, other football podcasts and stuff. I don't read into it. You know, I think Postecoglou and his team will go out professionally and, you know, I mean, they're not out of the Champions League running yet. I know it's not looking good for them. But I think I don't look at the Premier League table too often, mainly because I'm a Manchester United fan. But I don't think Tottenham, you know, they can still get fourth. A lot needs to go in their favour. Villa need to slip up, etc., etc. But it's not over until it's over. And I don't think there's any chance Tottenham take their foot off the gas against Manchester City. So it wouldn't stop me buying any Tottenham asset. I don't think that's in Postecoglou's nature anyway. Having, you know, watched a lot of him as a Celtic fan over those two seasons, he will go and he will play the same way as he always does, attack, attack, attack. He'll concede five, try and score six. So I think Richarlison is still a very good option. The next question is from Away From Press. With Saka and Arsenal playing so well, is it worth selling him for Kevin De Bruyne to triple up on City, or would any transfer be better used on Guardiola? So, good example here of what a lot of people will be thinking. They might have a single game week midfielder like a Saka, maybe even a Salah. Temptation to get De Bruyne, but is it better just to get Ederson or a defender? And I do think it probably is better just to get an Ederson or a defender. If you've got a really good asset in a Saka, who's delivered last three games, Arsenal going for the league, talisman, penalties, ticks every box, passed the eye test a little bit more in the most recent games, good numbers from the most recent game week as well. I would not sell Saka if I owned him. I can understand De Bruyne, but you can also just get another City defender, and there's no guarantee that De Bruyne outscores an Ederson, a Gvardiol, a Walker, or someone else. So it would be nice to have the Belgian. I think there is a short turnaround as well, I'm going to say, for Manchester City, so that's always a slight concern with Kevin De Bruyne's dodgy fitness in the past. So I'm going to say keep Saka, get Gvardiol, and hope Kevin De Bruyne does not do too much damage. Saka's fixtures: Manchester United this week, great fixture, Everton home on the final day, another great fixture. Question from Petter: are Foden and Erling Haaland essential, and do they come in for Liverpool and Arsenal assets? So the City fixtures: double game week, two away games, Fulham and Tottenham. Both good fixtures. Every fixture is good for Manchester City. But those teams in particular, again, don't keep too many clean sheets. Final day for Manchester City: West Ham at home, who just conceded five to Arsenal. Outgoing manager. Team is certainly on the beach. I don't even know if they're on a beach, but they're certainly somewhere else. They're not really on a football pitch in the right frame of mind these days, given everything that's going on. So are Foden and Erling Haaland essential? I would say, I always say no player is essential. But would I like to go into a game week without these players? No. So if you don't have Haaland, if you don't have Foden, I think both of them should be right at the top of your priority list. If you can get one of them, fantastic. If you can get both in, even better. I would probably prioritise Haaland because of captaincy and given, you know, what his effective ownership and the like will be this week and on the final day, and given he's just scored four goals, everyone's going to flock back to him and people are not even going to think about captaincy this week. They're just going to leave it on him if they were there last week, or very quickly put it on him if they weren't there last week. The question also said, do you lose Liverpool or Arsenal assets to get these guys? So again, that makes it a little bit trickier. In the case of Haaland, not so much, because it's Gabriel Jesus you're talking about, it's Darwin Nunez, so absolutely get rid of the forwards for Erling Haaland. Not as straightforward if you have Havertz, Odegaard even, Saka, Mohamed Salah, maybe Luis Diaz. Again, I said earlier I wouldn't sell Saka, but would I sell him for a Foden? Makes it a little bit trickier. But again, I would probably keep Saka and maybe get a third City, you know, get a defensive asset instead, possibly, and certainly prioritise Erling Haaland. So there's a lot of tricky decisions to be made this week, in midfield in particular. You know, selling good single game makers for double game makers, and a lot of people are just going to jump from one doubler to another as well. You know, for example, I'm tempted to sell Garnacho, who has a double game week, for someone else, probably a little bit more expensive. You know, looking at the numbers from Garnacho, you're very aligned on assists with him. You're also relying on a Manchester United team to perform well, which is doesn't happen very often these days. I think in the last 12, in Garnacho's last 12 appearances, there's actually only been one game where he's been on the score sheet. It was a brace, but it is only those two goals in the last 12 appearances. So it would be a -4 to remove him, which will probably see me just hold on to him. But, you know, Richarlison's tempting. You know, De Bruyne is tempting if I can make it work financially and go elsewhere in defence. So there's a lot at play this week. But again, to simplify it, get Foden and Haaland if you can. Next question is from Chris Tierney. Chris is taking a -4 for bench boost this week to replace Lamptey and Kelleher. Is it worth another -4 to bring it to -8 to swap Muniz to Nicholas Jackson? Or is it a risky move with Nkunku now back from injury? I don't think we need to worry too much about Nkunku. You know, he's barely played. They'll probably just make sure he's totally fine, get him ready for next season. Might get a few minutes, but I would expect Jackson to start every game for the final three. So I like it. I like Jackson. I like him a lot more than I did a couple of weeks ago. I like him a lot more than I did back in game week 3 or game week 4 when he was in my team and all he did was pick up yellow cards. But he's improved. Chelsea have improved and they've got a double game week. So Jackson is a good option. Well done to those who got on him a week or two ago and benefited from his 16-pointer recently. -4, Muniz to Jackson, absolutely fine in my book. If I had Muniz, that is probably a -4 I would be making. I'm tempted to do a similar move with a Solanke. So if I'm tempted to lose Solanke, who's got a better fixture than Muniz, that tells you that I would do it from Muniz, no issues. Question from Mikael Danielson. Is it worth taking a -12 for three non-playing guys and Muniz, or just a -8 and keep Muniz at home to City? So again, similar to the previous question, take your hits to get your bench boost out. I presume this is a bench boost manager. Or maybe just have a couple of players in your starting 11 who are not playing. But if you want to get the 15 bench boosters, if you've got three players that are going to get you 0 points, just take your hits, as many as you need. And again, don't let that influence your Muniz decision, because Muniz out for a -4 when he plays City for a double gaming striker, I think is absolutely fine. Question from Dale. Son or Richarlison if you've got no Tottenham attackers at the moment? That is a trickier question. I've already got Son. I'm biased on this one. He's been in my team for quite a while. I still think the answer is Son, because minutes, security minutes. We can't say for sure Richarlison will start both games in the double and game week 38, whereas I don't think any of us would say, you know, none of us would expect to see Heung-Min Son on the bench at any point. You know, famous last words, clip this when he does get benched, but Son for me, still number one. I know he's more expensive. I do like Richarlison for the final two games of the season, but I think it's in addition to Son rather than in place of. Question from Shane. On free hit this week, with the defensive options limited, would it make sense to bring in Ben White for Arsenal coverage? Yeah, even if you're on a free hit, you don't need to have 11 double game week starters. You can go for the good single game makers. Arsenal in particular, you know, one of the best teams in the league. They've got great assets right across the pitch. Goalkeeper, defender, midfielders, Saka, Havertz, White, Gabriel, David Raya. Don't be afraid to go for those on a free hit if you think they outscore the other double gaming options that you're considering. I will come back to the free hit at the end of the podcast, because I've put a very quick one together for those of you using it this week. A quick look at captaincy for a double gaming now. Like I said earlier, I think, you know, 90%, maybe more are going to go Erling Haaland, in particular if people are happy where they are in the overall rankings or in their mini leagues. If you're not, if you're in a, you know, chasing for the final couple of weeks, you're chasing someone down in a mini league, or your overall rank is not where you want to be, you know, let's say you are, you know, 310k and you want to get to 250k, then maybe you can go different. And there is plenty of scope. There's always scope in a double game week to go different with your captain. And maybe just owning Erling Haaland is a bit of an insurance policy that allows you to go elsewhere and go for broke. So Erling Haaland for me is the standout number one captain. He will be my captain. I'm 53k. I want to get top 50k, so I don't need to overthink it. And hopefully Haaland and bench boost, despite being on about minus 48 points to get to the bench boost, will see me there. Elsewhere, Foden and Kevin De Bruyne, great captaincy candidates. Fulham and Tottenham away. You've got Cole Palmer with two away fixtures. That wouldn't bother me with him. Forest away, Brighton away. Great captaincy candidate. You've got the Newcastle guys, as always, Isak and Gordon. They are home to Brighton, away to Manchester United. Very good fixtures. Heung-min Son, home to Burnley is good. Manchester City away, not so much. But again, don't mind it if you're chasing. And Bruno Fernandes, if he's fit, and you would need, you know, a proper green light on this one to give him the armband. Arsenal at home and Newcastle at home, not good fixtures, doesn't play for a good team, but Bruno has been very good in recent game weeks. If anyone's going to make something happen, it's going to be him, and he's always got those penalties to fall back on as well. So for me, Erling Haaland number one. If I was going differential this week, I would probably still stick with City, and I would go De Bruyne. I know some people tried that differential card last week, but it's a bit of a freak occurrence when City score four goals, and in particular Haaland scores four goals and Kevin De Bruyne is not involved in any of them. So I don't think lightning will strike twice on that one. So I like De Bruyne as a differential captain. I like Foden as well, and there's plenty of others like I mentioned, but I think it makes sense to stick with City for captaincy regardless of what you're up to. Although, you know, I'm just looking at these names, Palmer and Isak, I think, are not far behind.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
A look at my bench boost bus team now. So before any transfers are made, I've got Petrovic and Kelleher as the goalkeeper. So Kelleher will go. Porro, Gabriel and White will all stay. I need to sell Fabian Scher and Van Hecke. So straight away, one free transfer plus two more will be minus eight. The midfield is okay. They all double. Cole Palmer, Son, Foden, Gordon and Garnacho. I probably will just leave it like that rather than take another hit there. Up front, Haaland, Isak and Solanke. So I'm tempted by a Solanke to Jackson, minus four, which would bring me to minus 12 in a total. Players, in my thoughts, I think it's most likely going to be an Ederson or a Gvardiol coming in as my third City player, and whichever one I go for will influence the other picks in defence and goalkeeper position. So I think if I go Ederson, I'll probably get Dan Burnin instead of Gvardiol. And elsewhere, Jackson, I mentioned, would like to have De Bruyne, but probably going to have to reluctantly go without. And like I mentioned earlier, just to drill this home, keep in mind who you might want to buy in Game Week 38 and leave yourself enough cash to do so. So I might decide Friday night that I'm very likely to buy Saka or Havertz for the Everton fixture in 38. So I'm going to make sure whatever minus 8, minus 12 I take will allow me to do that in one transfer. Salah's at home to Wolves in the final day, so I'll keep that in mind as well. And Richarlison's another one. If I don't get Richarlison for the double, I mean, Garnacho to Richarlison minus 4 does tempt me. Get myself a goal scorer rather than someone who relies on assists and someone who also has Sheffield United on the final day of the season. But if I don't get Richarlison for Garnacho, I want to make sure that I have enough cash to get Richarlison in Game Week 38, because if he goes big in 37, I might want to get him in Game Week 38. So minus 8 for sure, probably going to end up on a minus 12, and I will try cap it at that. Before I go, a very quick free hit draft. I was just about to put this together with my budget. So the starting 11 on a free hit draft, I would be looking at something like this. No surprises. Petrovic, Dan Byrne, Pedro Porro, and a punt on Cucurella for double Chelsea defence. I've just gone for 11 double game makers here, rather than including the Arsenal guys. There's obviously no City defensive coverage here, so you know what's coming next. You've got Foden, De Bruyne and Erling Haaland for an attack and triple up for Manchester City. Just really like that on free hit, because not many people can get there. Elsewhere, Son would probably survive for me. Gordon and Isak would be in, and Cole Palmer would also be there. So Petrovic, Byrne, Porro, Cucurella, Palmer, Gordon, Son, Foden, KDB, Haaland and Isak. Sounds pretty good to me for a free hit draft. Good luck if you're on bench boost this week. Good luck if you're on free hit. Good luck if you're not on a chip at all. Let's hope we can somehow all have a good game week and then finish strongly in 38 and achieve our goals for the season, and then have a very well-earned rest for the summer period. I will absolutely not be playing Fantasy Euros. I need a Fantasy Detox, as happens at this stage every season. Burnt out by FPL, as I'm sure many of you are. It's a long, long season, so I'll be taking a break and coming back fresh for the new campaign. Thank you for taking time to listen, folks. Best of luck for the weekend. Talk to you next week for the final game week of the season. If you're not interested in the Patreon stuff, you can simply buy me a coffee instead at buymeacoffee.com/FPL General. Talk to you soon, folks.
Sports Social Podcast Network.